So the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus, they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus, I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, He is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited, He is the original cause, and He is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto Him. The purport. Anya balashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anuko yena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama bhaktirasamrita sindhu 1.1.11. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes, when there is no alternative, a pure devotee being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer there is also regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform in which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. Unless one is a completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing and dancing in ecstasy. This is Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. That is actually being seen in the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of Bhakti Yoga is a spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktiham ekaya grahya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.1, Mai asakta mana partha yogam yunjan mad ashriya asam shayam samagramam yata gasyasi tach trinu. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjun, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. Om Agyantam Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaiti Grim Yattipa Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Vansha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripas Ndubya Evacha Patitanam Pavni Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachateshtarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vyadatar Srivasadi Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Okay, Hare Krishna. So as for the blessings of all the devotees, that I might be able to say something meaningful from these, from this amazing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I'm not. So, yeah, recently we just passed this well-awaited 21st of December 2012. People have been waiting for years for this. But as you can see, we're all still here. Nothing major happened. Nothing really happened. But actually, all it ever was it was just one cycle in the vastness of time. There's so many cycles, so many things going on constantly in the universe. Because the universe is not a static thing. It's always moving. It's so many demigods and great souls are powering the universe. So many great devotees of the Lord are in stations of planets. And different demigods are making sure that everything works well within the universe. So it's constantly moving. And we are here. So there's one verse in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where the demigods, they're offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. It says, Namo Jyotir Lokaya Kalayanai Nimisham Pataya Mahapurushaya Bidhi Mahiti. So it says, O Lord, who have appeared in the form of time, who is the shelter for all the planets moving in the different orbits, who is the master of all demigods, supreme person, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you and I meditate upon you. So this is a level well beyond the level that we are at, that these demigods, they're constantly worshipping that Supreme Lord because they're understanding that he has come in the form of time. Everything is happening due to time. And if it's not for time, nothing is happening. So this is like the external energy of, it's the eternal representation of the Supreme Lord is time, and everything is happening within it. But we are down here, we are in this very conditioned state, so we're actually speculating most of the time. Certainly in Kali Yuga we're just speculating, because there's no good information. The ones who are supposed to be looking after the society and maintaining it are not doing what they're supposed to do. There is no Varnashram system now in Kali Yuga. So rather it's an exploitative system. So people are not being given proper information and people are not being properly looked after. So because of this, we're in a state of complete ignorance. So actually they did one survey about 2112 and they asked people all around the world, how many people actually think that the world is going to end on the 21st December 2012? And actually they said that 1 in 10, although I don't believe that myself, but they said 1 in 10 people actually thought that the world might actually end. So, and all this was based on a calendar which was written by an ancient tribal people, the Mayans. But nobody really could understand what their calendar was, because it was never passed down any further into modern time what they were actually saying. And it was easy to misinterpret what was said. So this is it. As humans, we have four major faults. And this is, we have limited and imperfect senses. We're prone to making mistakes. We're prone to illusion. And we're prone to cheating. So I think this is like a perfect statement about the human condition. You know, so many books have been written about psychology and so many things, but if you just state these four faults, I think that sums it up quite well. You don't really need to go much further. Rather, you should take this as a starting point. We have limited and imperfect senses. We're prone to making mistakes. We're prone to being an illusion, and we're prone to cheating. And then we can take it from there. I don't know what you think about that. But because our senses are our vision, we can only see certain frequency of light and we can only hear certain frequency of sound, so immediately we're restricted. Beyond these frequencies, we don't know what's actually going on, what's happening. Like that. So actually it's the nature of the soul is Satchidananda. We're trying to find happiness and we're trying to find knowledge. We need to be happy and we need to understand. So where are we going to find this? So in the Vedic conclusions, it said there's three methods of attaining knowledge or facilitating knowledge. So there's pratyaksha, which is directly from the senses, what we can see, hear, touch, like this, or anuman, by mental reasoning. But if we take shelter of our senses or our mind, if we make our senses or our mind the authority, then we just become bound by them. We become bound in our own ignorant condition, and we don't go any further. But the topmost method of acquiring knowledge is shabda, so hearing from authorities, actually the transcendental sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, and this has been passed down to authorities. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, this comes down through this shabda. So there's one verse in 12th canto, if I can remember it. It's Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Ekad Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Ekad Amalam Gyanam Param Giyate. So it's this Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. It is very dear to the Vaishnavas because it speaks of the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the relationships between certain personalities and the Supreme Lord. And these personalities, they offer many, many prayers to the Supreme Lord. So this, therefore it's very dear to the Vaishnavas because the Paramahamsas, they speak many elevated words, which then we can understand the just how great is the Supreme Lord. Because the rest of the Vedas, they covered so many aspects of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. But six Puranas or histories were given in the mode of goodness, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest of those. So actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is completely free of the contamination of the material modes of nature. So therefore, it's a spotless Purana. Or as we see here, it's brilliant as the sun. It's actually very pure. And the Vaishnavas can appreciate that. And of course, we're hoping that many other people in society, they can also read Srimad Bhagavatam so that they recognize this as well. So Gajendra here, he's certainly a Paramahamsa. He's a great soul. He's so great that he even remembers his previous life. He remembers prayers that he chanted to the Supreme Lord in a previous existence, even though now he's in the body of a very mighty elephant. So back to Rasamrita Maharaj and his talking in these verses, he pointed out, like, there's so many great names of Krishna are involved in these verses. So I just wanted to... These are involved in the second, the text 21, which we didn't go through. So Gajendra says, so tam aksharam, so unto he who is eternally existing. So this is Krishna eternally existing. He says, Brahma param parisham, who is Lord of all great personalities, such as Lord Brahma, avyaktam, he's invisible, not able to be realized by the mind and senses. It says, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. And actually, when you read the word for word for this text 21, after Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, Srila Prabhupada has put in brackets Bhakchimam Abhijanati, which is a reference to the Bhagavad Gita verse. Anybody know which Gita verse that is? Bhakti Imam Abhijanati Prabhu. Yes, that's it. Yeah. One can only know me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by devotional service. So this is 1855 in Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada has put that reference beside this, so it means the same thing, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, attainable only by transcendental bhakti yoga, by practicing, by no other way. Atindriyam, beyond the perception of material senses, Shukshmam Ivatiduram, transcendental to all external realization, Anantam, unlimited, Adyam, the original cause of everything, Paripurnam, completely full in everything. So these are like words that Gajendra is using to glorify the Supreme Lord, who he's praying to with great zeal. So, Shukshmam Ivatiturum, beyond the reach, Gajendra says, you're beyond the reach of my senses, transcendental to all external realization. So we mentioned this in Pratyaksha, this direct perception of the senses. You know, just like a baby when it's in its pram or whatever, it's hearing so many words, people saying, kuchi, like this, and speaking to it very nicely. But actually the baby doesn't understand any of these words, but it's receiving the energy of the speech. It's understanding at its own level. So this is pratyaksha. This is like direct perception. But there's Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He gives a higher level of pratyaksha. And that's in the verse in Bhagavad Gita. It says, Rajavidya Rajagoyam Pavitramita Mutamam. What's the next line? So this knowledge is the king of knowledge. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the most pure knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it's a perfection of religion. So, and it's everlasting and joyfully performed. So this is also pratyaksha. So because it gives perception of the self by realization, that means we don't need to even be thinking. It's just that realization is a very mystical process, actually. It just comes, realization just comes. It doesn't rely on anything else. It's a very pure form. It's a direct perception. But as we also say in the Prasadam prayers, Sarira Vijajal Jyotindriya Tahikal, so Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths to death, because the senses are involved with material nature, and that doesn't lead anywhere. It leads only to death. You know, it's one lifetime in one particular body, and then it's over. So everything's working on different levels. That's the beauty of the Vedic wisdom. And I was just thinking, you know, at least this is a perfection of religion, you know, that we can see in the world just now in Kali Yuga that religions cause so many problems. They're very sectarian in nature. So whenever we meet Christian people on the street saying, doing books, Sankirtan, we often get in conversations with them and we realize that they're very restricted. They've been given a very restrictive view of everything. And this comes down to the human failings, the basic four faults due to cheating propensity, the nectarian words of Lord Jesus Christ who have been distorted and used for political ends. So unfortunately people, the Christian religion, which is the biggest religion in the world, they are mainly following a very restrictive view. So they could get so much from reading the Vedic wisdom, but they usually won't do because their pride steps in and they say, no, but only through Jesus Christ can we attain salvation. So, but I was just thinking and also this is 24th December, actually, for many people in Europe especially, this is Christmas Day. Through the Catholic Church, this is Christmas Day. So, not to be offensive or anything, but if Lord Jesus were to come now and say to his people, well, my children, you're celebrating this day, what are you doing? And they say, well, we're slaughtering millions of these turkey birds so that we can eat them. Very nice. We're taking lots of intoxication, many wines and spirits. We're getting quite merry on these intoxicating spirits. And there's a rise in sex life. We'll be more sexually active than usual. Does this make you happy, Lord? So Of course, the answer is no, it doesn't. And from our understanding, Lord Jesus Christ, he was a guru, he was a spiritual master. And of course, the spiritual master is not very happy if we're not following. So this is how the world can be completely saved, is if people will read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the world will be a better place. So I hope that wasn't too offensive for anybody. But I grew up in a Christian tradition in the west of Scotland, so I feel that I can do that. So this Shabda has been handed down through Parampara from Krishna himself, Evam Parampara Praptam. So Krishna himself, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivasvan long, long time ago. And Vivasvan, the sun god, he spoke it to Manu, who is progenitor of mankind. And Manu spoke it to his son, King Ikshvaku, and that was 2 million years ago. So the Bhagavad Gita has been on this planet for 2 million years in recent times anyway. But then when Krishna, he saw that actually just over around about 5,000 years ago, the line had somehow become broken and people had forgotten and the wisdom was not being properly used. The Vaishnavas were not very happy. So Krishna appeared again by his great mercy, and he took his pastimes in Vrindavan in India, and he spoke the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjun. So by the parampara, the Bhagavad Gita is always existing somewhere within the universe. So many people ask, how can we be sure about this? You know, how can you be sure that this is the real wisdom, that it wasn't just somebody in India who made it up? So, Jai Shri Shri Radhigal Kananda Bhagavan Kijai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Shri Shri Gananda. Many people in the street say, well, why should we believe this? Maybe just somebody made it up. But actually we know that we can consult three parampara sources, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So from these three sources we can verify. And of course, if we ourselves take to chanting, it will be verified from within our heart that this is the truth. Because actually, and by reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, just the purification that comes from it, the realization that comes, convinces the devotee of its authority, like this. So if we can take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, we can associate with devotees, sadhus, and we can read from Shastra, then all of this will be confirmed that this is the supreme and absolute truth. So Gajendra, he is glorifying the devotees and the sadhus here. He's saying about the devotees, they have no other desire other than to serve the Lord. They worship him, and the hearing and chanting about him, about all his auspicious activities. So again, there's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, 10:9 says, Mach chitta madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyan chas chamim nicham tushanti cha romanti cha. So mach chitta, so the thoughts of my pure devotees are dwelling in me, madgata prana, and their lives are fully devoted to my service. Tushanti cha romanti cha, they derive great satisfaction and bliss. Bodhyanta parasparam katyan chas chamam nicham, by always enlightening one another and by conversing about Krishna and about his pastimes. It's a very beautiful thing, very simple but very beautiful. So, and in the purport to that, Srila Prabhupada says that in the preliminary stage, in the beginning stage, we're deriving great transcendental pleasure just from service. So whatever service we do, we're deriving great transcendental pleasure increasingly. And of course, we all experience that. But in the mature stage, it becomes love of God. So pure love of God. So basically, as we move, we're moving always closer to God as we're chanting, as we're reading and hearing and serving and praying. And we're ultimately moving closer to God towards, and we're attaining the transcendental qualities just by moving closer to him, which will allow us ultimately to become pure devotee servants of the Lord. So in this condition, devotees are very happy. Nothing makes devotees more happy than following this process. And as it says in this verse, they don't require anything else. Nothing else is needed. It's not this Srila Prabhupada quotes Anya Balashita Shunyam. We should render service to the Lord favorably without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. Everything is already given. We don't need any more. Although in the beginning stages, we might wish to correlate everything so that we can get a full picture. But ultimately, the devotees don't require anything. So we hear from the pastimes of great acharyas and Vaishnavas how they could live in almost nothing. The six Goswamis who were living just in the Vrindavan, just sleeping on a different tree every night, hardly eating anything. They were just surviving on the holy name and from the scriptures. So I was thinking, what is actually the difference between devotees and non-devotees? At this point, I was thinking about this, and this is my own speculation. So don't take this too seriously, right? But if you look to the natural world, to the world of the birds, you get different birds. You know, some are very small; they get very small wingspan, and some are very large wingspan, the very big birds. So I was thinking, the small bird, it's always moving very quickly. It's moving very quick from one place to another. And then you find it stops somewhere and then it catching its breath. So it's very hard work. It has to work very hard. And maybe there's danger from cats and things like that. But the big birds, like the eagle, albatross, condor, birds like that, the very large wingspan, they can just soar through the air. They can glide for a long distance. And the really smart ones, they fly very high. And then the thermals, the heat coming from the planet, they just soar in these thermals for miles and miles. They don't have to flap their wings, they just glide. And I was thinking, it's a bit like that, isn't it? It's like, for the very people who are very conditioned by the material nature, they're always struggling from one thing to the next. And then getting exhausted and getting tired and bewildered, and they're in great danger. But the big birds, they just glide, you know, they're just meditating on the Supreme Lord. Ah, bliss. So I'm thinking it's a bit like that. So we're all trying to be big birds rather than small birds. So how does one actually become then a devotee? How does one access this nectar? So, Brahmanda, Brahmatikon, Bhagavana Jeev, Guru Krishna, Prasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Beej. So it says that Lord Chaitanya is saying that innumerable living entities are moving, traveling throughout the whole universe, sometimes going to the upper heavenly planets and sometimes down to the lower hellish planets. But of these innumerable living entities, a very few will be fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee. And they will get the chance to understand devotional service. And they will attain the seed of the devotional creeper, the devotional plant. So Lord Chaitanya said that devotional service, it's like sowing a seed in the heart. So we sow this seed in the heart, the seed of this devotional creeper. And by hearing and chanting, this seed fructifies and it sprouts and it begins to grow as this plant. So the spiritual plant, it grows and it grows. And actually, it penetrates the covering of the material universe, which is quite incredible, because if you read in Bhagavatam that the covering of the universe is like Brahmanda, so it's got a hard shell covering, which is very, very thick, many, many layers, each 10 times the thickness of the next. So this devotional plant is very much on the subtle plane, so it actually penetrates that covering and it keeps on going and it enters the Brahmajyoti effulgence, which is in the spiritual sky. And then it keeps growing until it reaches the highest planet in the spiritual sky, which is Golok Vrindavan. And then it keeps on growing. It takes shelter under the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and there it rests. And when that happens, then one is fully absorbed in pure love of God. And such a person, Srila Prabhupada tells us, such a person cannot live for even a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord. He said, just as a fish cannot live without water. So we can understand a fish not being able to live without water. And we hope that our devotional creeper might reach the stage of taking shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. But the fish cannot live without water, as we know. We could take a fish from the ocean, and we could give it nice clothes, nice food, give it a nice car, make it the president of the United States, but still that fish would not be happy. The fish would want to go back in the water. It's I'm running out of air, I'm dying. I don't want to be the president of the United States. Just put me back in the ocean. This is where I belong. So we are like that, actually. Our position is also fish out of water because, and it takes time to realize this, and some never do, that actually we are really not this body, that we are spirit souls and we're from the spiritual platform. We don't belong in this material nature. It's a very difficult environment to be in. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to realize it. Because Krishna consciousness is about realizing the self as much as realizing Krishna. So we have to realize our very dangerous position. But actually the material nature, which is the three modes of material nature, it can be two things. It can be like a prison house, but it also is a place of learning. So for those who are intelligent, it is a place of learning by which we can understand the self, by which we can understand Sri Krishna. But it can be a prison house if we restrict ourselves to our senses and our mind, to Pratyaksha and Anuman. It can become a prison house. And for most people, actually it is, and we can see how that affects people very badly. But actually the one thing is that we hear about the subtle aspects of ourself, like the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. But actually the false ego cannot stand for a minute that it's not enjoying itself. And this is the dangerous position, because we came here because we wish to desire. We desired for ourselves to enjoy and control, separate from Krishna. So Krishna gave us the material universe that we can do that within. But the false ego is in a very subtle plane, very high level. So it's thinking, but yes, I must enjoy myself. But when it notices that it's not enjoying itself, it finds it very difficult. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he says that actually what happens then is that to compensate, there must be a compensation. And what happens is the mind, it starts to invent the situation just to make the false ego think that it's enjoying itself. So it invents all sorts of scenarios, like, actually it's not so bad. Actually I'm quite good, quite powerful at everything I do. I'm okay, actually. It's not so bad as it seems. But actually, this is the mind is just inventing just a load of nonsense. It's in the illusory state. But it gets us through a lifetime. So the intelligent will try to understand what this is all about and try to reach the depths of actually who we are in all of this. So everybody's trying to be happy. It's the nature of the soul. And there's one story that comes out of India about this necklace that belonged to a great queen. She had left her necklace sitting on one place, and this crow came along, the bird, another bird. The crow came along. The crows are quite intelligent. So he took this necklace and he flew away with it. And then the queen called, the king called all of the servants and everybody said, we must go out and find this necklace. The queen must have her necklace back. So all the servants, everybody went out looking for this necklace. So one young sadhu, he was out, and then he came to this pond, and he saw in the pond something glistening. So he looked in, thought, what? That glistening thing, maybe that's the necklace. So he started to reach in, and then he realized he was sinking. There was quicksand. Excuse me. There was quicksand, and he was sinking in this quicksand. So he managed to pull himself out. But he thought, I'm not going to give up. So he was trying everything, just trying to reach in to get to this glistening thing at the bottom of the lake. So this sage, a very wise sage, happened to be walking past. And he was watching this sadhu. And he came to the sadhu and said, what is it you're doing? And the sadhu didn't want anybody to know. So, nothing, nothing, I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking in this pond. But the wise sage said, don't worry, I don't need what you're looking for. But I can tell you that, you know, what are you doing? So the sadhu said, I'm trying to reach this golden necklace in the bottom of this lake. But every time, it's very dangerous because there's this quicksand. Every time I reach, it seems to move further away. So the wise sage said to him, actually, you're searching for the right thing, but you're looking in the wrong place. So look above you. So there was a tree above, and the necklace was hanging from a branch in the tree, and its reflection was in the water. So this is like the material world, actually. It is like a temporary reflection of the spiritual world. So sometimes we see things in the material world that seem like they're glistening, but actually it is just the pale reflection. But we're so possessed, the illusory quality of material nature bewilders us completely, and we think that within this material nature there is something that will make us happy. So we are the superior nature of Krishna. Krishna has so many energies, and we are of that superior nature, but because of contamination with the inferior material nature, our illusion becomes fairly eternal. So we're very much conditioned by many, many lifetimes. And we know that it's also from Bhagavad Gita that it's really not easy to get out of the clutches of this material nature because we're so conditioned so many lifetimes. So many lifetimes, we're at the end of one life after having attachments during that lifetime. Death comes along and tears us away from the attachment. And the body goes through all its changes and we become just more and more bewildered. So we enter the life in almost a bewildered state already. The soul is already in a difficult position. But this, again, it's a great benediction that's been given to us. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse about this. The clutches of material nature and how to get out of it. So Devi Hiesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Prabhachate Mameva Ye Prabhanchante Mayametam Tarantite. So Krishna says that this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome, but one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. So Gajendra here, he's like fish out of water as well. He's in a very difficult situation, and this crocodile has been biting his leg for 1,000 years, and although he's a very strong elephant, they've been moving close by this lake, but as Gajendra, the elephant, is becoming more weak, he's being pulled into the water, which is the domain of the crocodile. The elephant, of course, he can go to the water, but it's not his natural element, so he's out of his natural element. He's starting to lose. And it's said that this crocodile is like material nature. It's slowly dragging him down. So Gajendra realized that he's beginning to lose. And so he says, you know, I'm in danger. The devotees would normally be very content on the path of chanting and hearing. But when one reaches a stage of real danger, then all we can do is cry to the Lord, like, I'm in a dangerous situation, please rescue me. So in this Kali Yuga, it's a very dangerous situation. So we've been given the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to get out of this danger. But often it is through danger itself that we can realize our situation through danger. Danger is like a merciful condition. So sometimes Krishna gives us danger in our life just so that we wake up and realize more. We hear from great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, he was in great danger. His father was trying to kill him, like throwing him off cliff, throwing him into boiling oil, throwing him into pits of snakes. But Prahlad Maharaj, he was always surrendered to the Supreme Lord, so he was always saved. There was one story I was going to say about one of my own experiences. I don't know, it's getting on a little bit. I don't know how much to go on here. But no, I'll skip that one. That's for another time. But there's another verse, Bhuvam Bodhir, Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yadvipadam Natesham. So the great souls who have surrendered unto the Lord, for them the ocean of material nature is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. So for them their goal is Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, Param Padam, not the place where there is danger every step. So this place where we are is certainly the place where there's danger every step. Srila Prabhupada once, he was in a car crash. One of the devotees was driving him and they left the road. I think it was in India, and they crashed the car. But not so bad. They managed to get back on the road again. But Srila Prabhupada, he was dead silent. He said nothing. And they went all the way back to the temple where they were staying. And then Srila Prabhupada, he left the car very silently and he went up to his rooms in this temple. And one servant was with him. And for some time, Srila Prabhupada said nothing. And then suddenly he said, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham. You know, this is, the goal is Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not this place where there's danger every step. So, this is it. And Srila Prabhupada had also said, he warned the devotees, particularly the Western devotees, you have to be more afraid of Maya, the illusory nature, because it's very dangerous. Just follow the path and you'll be okay. But it said that the greatest danger of all, it's also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Bhutva Bhutva Prelayate, repeated birth and death, this is the most dangerous situation. Because by remaining within the cycle of samsara, taking birth again and again, the dangerous can become completely bewildered and completely lost. Taking birth in all sorts of planets, has been said, and therefore prolonging our difficult situation. Because actually, Krishna is giving everything that we can return to him in the spiritual realm. But we just have to pay attention to it. But material nature is so powerful that we can easily forget that and become completely bewildered. So I don't think I'm going to say anything more because it's past 8:30. So maybe someone wishes to add something, or maybe I can try and ask a question or something.